Thank you, Mike. Choir, you did it again. Great choir. Oh, I wish I had time to sing in the choir. Well, for you visitors, you would have no idea what that meant. I'm musically illiterate. All right, so anyway, Fathers, it's good to have you here this morning. Welcome to all of you. And we'll hang on here. We're going to honor you after the service this morning. But with this being Father's Day, I figured that I would go back through history. So after about 4 solid hours of research in the local library, on the internet, okay, 5 minutes, I've come up with some typical father's remarks to their children in history. Christopher Columbus's father. I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher, you should have at least written your mother. Michelangelo's father. Mike, can't you paint on the walls like other children? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get this stuff off the ceiling? Napoleon's father. All right, Napoleon, take your grade card out of your vest and show it to me. So you should have been do better than that. Albert Einstein's father. But Albert, it's your senior picture. Can't you do something about your hair? Humpty Dumpty's father. Humpty, I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, don't be sitting on that wall. And then Thomas Edison. This, I like this one. Of course I'm proud that you invented the electric light bulb, Thomas. Now turn it off and go to bed. So it never changes, that role of the father. Anyway, it's a good Father's Day. And fathers, you can relax because being a father, I've chosen not to preach on fathers. So you can just relax, you know, save you from being poked in the ribs by your wife or your children, okay? So I'm going to do pro-choice. Well, there's your scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Just so we'll kind of know what Paul's talking about to the Thessalonians, that word prove, dokimazo, means to test or examine, prove, scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuine or not, to recognize as genuine after examination. So what he's telling the Thessalonians, look, I want you to examine everything. Now, I think that to some degree, Paul was probably referring to the scripture's truth. There's a lot of truth and error going on, even as early as this young church. Church was only about a month old. But it is a Greek word that's often used for the testing of metals. And so I looked up, because I remember I used to give these out. When I was pastoring, I would give these out to the kids, gold. And I'd only give them out in the wintertime because in the summertime they always melt in my pocket. So I remember seeing an old Western where they'd be paid in gold and they'd always bite it. And so I looked it up to see why, because I was testing, I was proving whether it was a genuine coin or not. But here's the dilemma. It's 50-50. Half the people say that when they bit, because gold was soft, when they bit into it, it would leave teeth marks. The other 50% say no, it was to check to see, make sure it wasn't lead gold plated, because lead's a lot softer. At any rate, that's how they would test it. I got a kick out of this because I used to give these to the kids, and one of the fathers came to me one day and he said, Pastor, he said, I went into Andrew's bedroom last night and I noticed under his bed there were about 12 of these. And I said, son, what are you doing with all these coins? And he said, Dad, I'm saving them up to buy something for you and Mom. I know. And he said, son, they're chocolate. You need to eat them. So I don't know where Andrew is today, but I hope he's gotten over the distrust of pastors. Okay. But what if only a child could think that. So anyway, if you bite that thing, you'll realize it really isn't solid gold, not even gold plated. But when we see here, prove these things, test them, examine them, and there is a choice implied. That's therein have I given you the title of this message, pro-choice. There's a choice implied here. There's a choice of good and bad. All right, If you look at the second part of this, hold fast, literally means to keep a firm possession of. And so the indication here is when you prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, the implication is you're not going to retain that which is bad. So the implication is there's a choice involved here. And our life is exactly that. So the situation we have, why do we have such a difficult time proving things today? And it seems like we have a tendency to believe what we agree with. Even when it comes time to selecting a church, we have a tendency to hear something, say, well, I agree with that, so this is a good church. Well, not necessarily so. If you are never exhorted to consider or prove what you believe, how will you ever learn anything? You've reached the maximum of your knowledge if you're only going to agree with what you believe. Because knowledge sometimes pushes us to believe some things that we haven't before believed. All right, so Thessalonians, Paul says, I want you to test everything. Test it all. And I want you to hold fast to that which is good. Now, we really have a dilemma with this, I think, in our country and the world probably today. Is we could also call this, I think, discernment. But part of our problem is we don't want absolutes today. I mean, we don't want black and white. We don't want male and female. We don't want marriages of husbands and wives. We don't want right and wrong. We don't want heaven and hell. We just want everything to kind of blend into these colors of gray rather than black and white. And so we've kind of gotten to the place where there is no proving going on. As long as you're happy with it, then that's good. And so let me, just for an illustration, give you this, and not to be picking, but I want to go through some of the common beliefs. You know, the charismatic churches believe that the gift signs are still here today, even though the Bible clearly refutes that fact. They even believe in faith healers, but when their faith healing fails, then they blame you for the lack of faith. Now, stick with me. Holiness churches believe you can reach sinless perfection, even though Paul said, I have not attained, and I still deal with the flesh. Foursquare churches, and by a variety of names, there's a variety of names of charismatic churches, a variety of names of the holiness movement, a variety of names in Foursquare. Foursquare believed that in the atonement there is healing, because Isaiah said, by his stripes you are healed. If that in fact is true, there should not be a saved person wearing glasses, having a hearing aid, or having gray hair. As a matter of fact, we'd have a hard time dying if healing is in the atonement. The vast majority of churches, whatever you want to call them, I know some Baptist churches even, I wish they'd change their name, believe you can lose your salvation. Now stick with me on this. I'm not trying to throw rocks at anybody. I want you just to hear the choices. The vast majority of churches you go to do not believe you can keep your salvation or that it is kept for you by the Lord. Therefore, they believe that you can lose it. The entire Protestant church group, and I could name a bunch of those. You probably know who they are. They all have an issue with baptism. They all want to baptize babies. I came out of one of those. Let me tell you why they have an issue. Every one of them was in the Catholic Church in their history, and they brought that doctrine with them, all right? So, but you see, people want them all to be right. Seriously, they don't like preachers preaching against that because, come on, don't pick on those people. But listen to me. At some point, you've got to prove what you believe and hold fast to that which is true and reject that which is false. But we're living in an age where everybody wants everybody to be right. Well, and as long as they're sincere. But wait a minute. The Jews were sincere when they crucified Jesus. When they killed Jesus, they were sincere, thinking they were serving God. Well, they all mean well. Well, as long as they believe. Folks, listen to me. If it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't even matter that you believe. If it doesn't matter what you believe, then why believe anything? Just go with the flow. Now, I know personally that some people have sat in this auditorium and have taken issue with our pastor because of his mentioning of the Pope or Mary or various heirs in the Catholic Church. But I've been in this church for 6 years. I've never heard him say anything about the Catholic Church that isn't absolutely true. But there's those of us that, well, now we want the Catholics to be right. We want to be right. We want all these. But listen, all these people have a good heart. I'm not talking about their heart. I'm not talking about their sincerity. I'm talking about belief. I'm talking about truth and error. At some point, we need to test all things, especially doctrinal things, and hold fast to that which is good. You know what? If Catholic doctrine is right, what are you doing here this morning? Seriously, what am I doing here this morning? I'm a hypocrite if I believe any of these doctrines I've told you is right. If I believe any of these that I've shared with you, I'm a hypocrite for standing in this pulpit and preaching otherwise. Even Elijah said, the big battle between Baal and Jehovah, he said, how long halt you between two opinions? He said, make a choice. If Jehovah is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. Even Elijah said, listen, make a choice. How long do you hold between two opinions? Make a choice. Choose what you're going to do this day. If you believe that Jehovah is God, then follow him. But if you believe Baal's God, then follow him. But he didn't say, listen, choose who you want to follow because they're both right. And he demonstrated that they were not both right. Do you know, when Paul says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, do you know choice is a mental thing? People say, well, I had no choice. Don't ever say that. You always have a choice. Now, you might not have had a choice of being run over by a train, but you might have had a choice of not being on the railroad tracks. All right. I mean, there are some things that can happen to us that we might not have chosen. I mean, you can be hit by a drunk driver. You didn't choose that. But I'm talking about the things wherein we have choice. We need to prove what is good, what is true, and hold fast to that which is good and true, implying reject the false and reject that that's bad. And so this quote, and I'm baffled by this, this quote is attributed to Ralph Waldo Emerson. Why in the world he would have ever said this, I do not know. But others attribute it to Charles Reed. They were contemporaries. They lived the exact same time, only died 2 years apart, back in the 1800s. Sow a thought, reap an action. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So sow a thought, you're eventually going to reap an action because you thought about it. Sow an act, you reap a habit. Sometimes we call that addiction. Sow a habit, you reap a character, what we become. And then you sow a character, you reap your destiny. So this is no light thing when Paul says, listen to me, prove all things, test them, bite on them, see if they're genuine, and hold fast to the ones that you find are true and discard those that you find are false. Could very well be called discernment. And so this is the testing for the purpose of choice. And there's going to be a choice, and your choice starts here. It's not a reflex. It's a thought. It's something you think, a decision you come to after proving. If you would go through all these scriptures and you say, you know, I just come to this church. And see, and by the way, for you visitors, I'm glad you're here. I'm not the pastor. All right. So if you get upset with me, you can still come back. Okay, pastors in Germany, we're praying for him. I heard from him this morning. Everything's going well. I had a good morning service, and he'll be back here in July. But he's preaching a revival in Germany, and we're praying for him. But I'm not the pastor, so be cautious about where you apply the offense this morning, all right? But listen, here's what we're talking about. Pro-choice. You need to be pro-choice. You're going to choose things in your life. That's what life is. And we've got to get over this thing because we're being raised up more and more and more. We've got to the place where boys don't even know if they're boys. Are you with me? Do you understand that? We've gotten to the place where we just don't even understand if there's just boys. We've gotten so deluded that we can't. It is so gray. No blacks and whites. No right or wrong. Everybody's kind of right. It's whatever you believe. And so if you're a boy, you want to be a girl. There's nothing wrong with that. Where have we come from? Let me tell you something. Part of it's right here. Prove, test all things. Prove what's good and hold fast to it and reject the bad, even if it puts you in the minority. Now, that's fine. So, is there help available? Sure there is. You don't have to make these choices. In fact, God doesn't expect you to make these choices on your own. All right? Look at the counsel for the purpose of choice. Just our second point here, and it's very, very, very short. The source for counsel, Psalms 119:24. Thy refers to God. Thy testimonies refer to His Word. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. This is where I get counseling. If I want to figure out whether I'm a boy or a girl, if I want to figure out whether I should marry a man or a wife, if I want to figure out whether I'm supposed to be a father or a mother, guess what? Here it is. We don't have to be held to the sway of what we're being taught by our society. Folks, listen, wake up. It's juvenile. Someone said the problem thing with common sense, it's not common anymore. It's hard to accept these even if we didn't have the foundation. Doubly so that we have the foundation. Prove it. Hold fast to it. So the source, the word, look at the safety in counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Let me ask you a question. Are all churches right? Are all churches right? Are you telling me that you and I can go to any church in the city of Albuquerque, and be pleasing to God and grow in our knowledge of God, grow into the conformity of Jesus Christ? They are not. They can't be. As a matter of fact, some people are confused about why we have so many denominations. That's easy. We have so many denominations because we all believe something different. So it's time to find out, what do you believe? Come on, even here, come on, prove. Prove what you hear from this pulpit. Be a Berean rather than a Thessalonican. The Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were true, the things Paul was teaching. Our preacher would be thrilled if after he preaches, you go home and search your scriptures to find out. He shared with me in a text this morning. He preached in Germany, and even there, he was questioned by a man from India who wants to be a missionary. He was questioned on some of the things Pastor preached. Pastor said, after I shared some things with the Bible, I think he may have come around. But it doesn't matter where you are on this planet. If I do not totally believe this book and what the doctrine is of this church, I have no business, not just being in the pulpit, I have no business being here, period. You must prove. And we have counselors. Here are the counselors. All churches aren't right, all prophets aren't right, and all of your opinions aren't right. We have a difficult time with that, folks. Now, I don't know if men more than women, I know we're accused, dads, of having... being more opinionated than women, but I'm not sure. Just because we absolutely know where we're going without directions doesn't mean that we're necessarily opinionated, okay? But it would do good for us to step back, test our opinions, find out what's real and true and stick to it, or find out what's wrong and reject it. That's what Paul is teaching a young baby church 2,000 years ago, a church that wasn't less than 2 months old. Have you ever made a bad choice in your life? You want to have testimony time? Starting with me, we won't have time for you. Why did you make a bad decision? You ever thought that out? Did you ever think out why you made a bad decision? Did you make a bad decision because you really didn't seek any counsel on what you were doing? Or you sought counsel and you couldn't find it? Or you sought counsel and you didn't take it? So Ann and I were at Presbyterian this week, and we go there every month to pay our dues and to pay Justin's salary. All right. And we were talking to her. She's a delightful lady. We have her often. She's a Christian lady. We got to talking, and one thing led to another. And she was very open and honest with us. And she was talking about her oldest daughter, got married, had 4 children. Her husband beat her, verbally abused her, physically abused her. She got to the point where she had to call the police on him, have him hauled off, and they got a divorce, and she's going on with her life. But this is what that sweet lady told me. And she said, you know what? We begged her not to marry him. We begged her not to marry him. We knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was not right for her, but we couldn't make her do that. Listen to me. How many stories would we have of that in this congregation this morning? We listened to counsel, but we knew better, especially when we're teenagers, when we know everything. I mean, it's amazing. You've heard the old story. You know, when I was 14, my dad was an idiot. When I was 21, I tried to figure out, how'd he go to college? I didn't even know he went to college. He got so smart by the time I was 21. You know, I didn't know if there even was an antonym for counsel, and I found it to be interesting. Sometimes you just look up things out of curiosity, and I got to think of, well, what would be the opposite of counsel? What would be an antonym of counsel? I got three words. First one was ignorance. Second one, negligence. And the third one, thoughtlessness. Have you ever made a bad decision? Is it possible that the decision you're making concerning the things of God are wrong? If they're not based on this, there's no guarantee what you think's right. That's why we want today, and that's why, as a matter of fact, this whole church conglomerate is going to come together one day. It's going to come together one day under the leader of a charismatic, not charismatic in the sense of time, because he's not even very spiritual. I mean an outgoing, dramatic, likable guy. He's just going to happen to be called the Antichrist. And there's going to be a world government, and everyone's going to be singing the same note until he gets tired of it and destroys it. Well, let's talk about the choices here just for a minute. Choice for the purpose of life. I want to show you something in Deuteronomy that God gave us. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, God speaking, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Now what he's saying is I'm going to speak in the presence of the congregation of the heavens and all of the earth. What I'm about to tell you, I want the angels to hear. I want the fallen angels. I want the righteous angels. I want the planets. I want the comets. I want the earth, the saved, the lost, everybody. I want them to hear, because I'm going to charge you with something today. I want you to hear this. Now listen to me. I am setting before you life and death. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. But look what else. Blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Now, I've been guilty of stopping before I read this whole verse, because I've always been enamored with why we're so dumb that God would have to tell us which one to choose. He said, I set before you, listen to me, I set before you life and death. Oh, by the way, hint, hint, choose life. I'm thinking, you know what? That's got to be a testimony against us. You mean we don't have the sense to choose life? True. The majority of our decisions are for death and or blessing and cursing. And so I've always been so enamored with the fact that he tells us to choose life that I've had a tendency to pass over the blessing and cursing. He said, the choices you make are going to be choices for life or death, or they're going to be choices for the good life or the not so good life, every choice you make. And he says, look at this, and that thy seed may live. Do you know, parents and dads and moms, the choices we make affect our children? Listen to me. The choices we make as to whether or not we're going to be in church and we're going to make them be in church affects our children. And some of the choices your parents have made have affected you. Some of the choices my parents have made have affected me. Sometimes the choices my parents made, I've got to rise above that. I've got to find out that there is truth beyond that. But I also need to know that the choices, you know, and here's the sad thing, because today our parents are teaching their children to decide later whether they're a girl or a boy. Seriously. They're saying, well, just Johnny, just wait till you grow up and then you can decide whether you want to be a boy or a girl. The parent is making a choice that's going to devastate that person's life. You say, well, how can it devastate it? Because it's a choice against the principles of God. It will not survive. Folks, it will not survive. It's not a matter of not being all inclusive. It's being a matter of, listen, choices are being made. They're going to wind up in death, and they're going to wind up in cursing. I'm just amazed. And by the way, there's probably, listen, before we go on. God has said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He told us to choose life. I suppose he didn't think it was necessary to also tell us to choose blessing. There's probably no better example, and I chose the title for this as pro-life. There's probably no better example than choosing death than the pro-choice of abortion. Amen. The pro-choice of abortion is not a choice for a mother's health. Now, ladies, I'm sorry to have to say that to you. I'm sorry to even think that there would be a single woman in here that believes that abortion is health care. You say, oh, man, there's always this. I don't want to get into all the exceptions because my message is not on abortion. I'm just saying there can't be a better example of death than the pro-choice today. But here's an even better example of a spiritual decision. Look at this. John 3:16. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's life and death. So you have it in the physical realm where you choose life or death. You choose to have your baby or kill it. And in your spiritual realm, you choose Christ as your Savior or you reject Him. You choose Christ as your Savior. Not only do you have blessings in this life, you have eternal life. You choose, and you say, well, I've never chosen. You've chosen. You've either chosen for Him or you've chosen against Him. See, some of our choices aren't made by standing up and saying, well, I choose this. Some of our choices are made by not doing anything. If you have failed in your life to come to Christ, admit to Him you know you're a sinner. Understand the reason He died was for you. And He'll give you eternal life if you'll trust Him with that death. If you've not done that, you didn't necessarily make a decision, I'm not going to do that. It's just you haven't done it. That is a choice for death. And the other choices can result in good life or the not so good life. Folks, some of your choices will destroy your marriage. There are things that can die besides you physically. Some of the choices you make can destroy your marriage. Kill it. Some of the choices you make will destroy your health, eventually killing you. Some of the choices you make will destroy or kill your career. It'll destroy your children, destroy your family, destroy your happiness, eventually destroy your destiny. I mean, once you've chosen to watch pornography, it comes very hard not to choose against perversion. Come on, be honest with me. Once you've decided in your life that you can get by sitting in the darkness of your living room, bedroom, or wherever, whatever age you are, once you've chosen, and you made that choice, something affected you that the old flesh welled up. And you made that choice. And once you made that choice to watch pornography, it's going to be very difficult not to eventually make the choice of perversion. Sow a thought. Go through the process. Reap a destiny. Once you've chosen drugs. Now come on, we know that. Once the drugs are chosen, it's almost impossible to choose against them. I mean, some things need to be chosen right up front. Because you know what? Slavery. You know one of the downsides of slavery in America? Slaves didn't have much of a choice. Couldn't choose where they were going to go. Couldn't choose sometimes who they'd marry. Couldn't choose if they were going to have children. Couldn't choose if they were going to go to town or own. One of the big faults of slavery was there's no freedom for those people. Well, guess what? When you select pornography, you've become a slave, and then you have no more choice. You made your choice when you chose against the direct counsel of the Word of God to watch perversion and then wonder, how in the world did you get where you are today? As a matter of fact, you could get so deep into it, you don't even wonder where you are today. You think it's right. You young people, once you've made the decision to quit high school, you've made a decision that's going to dog you all your life, and you did not make a good decision for a blessed life. You made a decision for a cursed life. Our life is made up of choices. Our life is made up of proving what is good, proving all things, and holding fast to that which is good, and rejecting that which is bad. And sometimes they aren't easy choices. See, when a young person comes to the place that he wants to quit high school, that's not an easy choice because they're, for whatever reason, they're just sold on the fact of quitting high school. You're going to go through your life. And by the way, some choices are permanent. You can't reverse them. I mean, honestly. I mean, the obvious ones, abortion, you can't reverse it. Suicide, you can't reverse it. If in this congregation I could say this, you don't hear much preaching and teaching on suicide, but let me tell you something. If you ever get so down in the dumps that you're considering taking your life, remember this. I have set before you life and death. Choose life. Suicide is never right, never God-honoring. If there's ever a time, and you young people, you listen to me, one of the great killers of our teens today is suicide. It is never right. It is never right. It is never right. God, you've violated the direct commandment of God in that you've chosen your life instead of choosing life. Amen. You see, there's good counsel in the Word of God. Murder. I mean, there's a number of decisions that aren't reversible. Throughout your life, here are some decisions you're going to make. We've already talked about the decision of whether abortion or life. We've already talked about the decision of drugs or temperance. We've already talked about the decision of pornography or abstinence. Abstinence means zero, none. You are going to choose the friends you associate with. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You are going to choose the friends at every age. Our young people are adults. It matters not what your age is. You're going to choose the friends you associate with. It used to be said that the difference between you now and 20 years from now, if you live 20 years, will be the people you meet and the books you read. I believe we'll change it for the people you meet and the internet you search. Same difference, wherever you happen to read. You will choose your friends. And by the way, you can choose your friends on a biblical basis. You're going to choose how to spend your money. You're going to choose, you that are single, you're going to choose who you're going to marry. You young people in here that are single, one of these days you're going to choose who you marry. Some of you young people, you're going to choose who you date and how you date. These are choices. You're going to choose where to work. You're going to choose what things you read. You're going to one day choose whether or not to have children, then you have to choose how to raise them. You're going to choose whether to read the Bible or watch TV. You're going to make a choice whether you're going to pray or you're just going to stay in bed. That's no fun, is it? You're going to choose whether you're going to criticize or compliment. You're going to choose in this church, Mountain Springs Baptist members, you're going to choose in this church whether you're going to be a complimenter or a criticizer. That's your choice. It's unbelievable that some people come in this church and find something to criticize. Why don't you find something to compliment? Because it's a choice. When you decide to criticize somebody or something, you've made the choice to do that. Why didn't you make the choice to compliment? You're going to make the choice of whether you're going to tear people down or you're going to build them up. See, our life's full of choices. You're going to choose whether to love or hate. You're going to choose whether to be confused about love and lust. You're going to choose whether you're going to forgive people or you're going to hold a grudge and have resentment. That's you. Listen, it's not their choice. It's your choice. God says, listen, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. If you want to have a cursed life, then you hold on to your grudge. You hold on to your resentment. And you let bitterness run into your heart where you can't get rid of it. And you'll be miserable to the point you don't even know why you're miserable. You're just never happy. Because someone did you wrong and you just couldn't forgive them. You'll make a choice in this life whether you're going to forgive or you're going to hold a grudge. You're going to make a choice whether you're going to praise or you're going to gripe. Just read the Old Testament. Just read the children of Israel. Had it all and gripe the whole time. And it's written for our admonition that we might not do the same. You're going to decide whether you're going to be satisfied or dissatisfied. Oh yes, that's your decision. The amount of money you have has nothing to do with it. The size of your house has nothing to do with it. The year and make and model of your car has nothing to do. You will decide in your life whether you're going to be satisfied or discontented. That's a decision you will make. You're going to decide whether you're going to tell the truth or you're going to lie. On a daily basis, you will have the opportunity every day to lie about something, and you're going to make a choice. Or am I going to tell the truth, or am I going to lie? And all these fall into the category of life and death, blessing and cursing, and what you want out of life. You're going to decide whether you're going to be honest or you're going to cheat. Now, we kind of associate that with only being while we're in school, and that temptation always of being able to kind of peek on someone's paper and get an answer. There's always that, but it's the same in the business world. It's the same in shopping, of whether we make a decision whether we're going to be honest or whether we're going to cheat. I've often wondered at Walmart, when Walmart had been created to give preachers illustrations. It's the only reason Walmart exists. But they have this place, these self-serve counters. I wonder how much that costs them. Now, I'm serious, because I mean, it's just so easy. There's only one person kind of floating around, and they don't know whether they're coming or going, that works for Walmart. I just wonder how many people make the decision when they check out to check everything out except the 2-pound block of cheddar cheese. Yeah, you're going to have the choice. It's just not the crooks that do it. You're going to have a choice whether you buy or steal. You're going to have a choice whether you forbear with people or you give in to your anger. People are horrible. I'm glad I'm not one. People will irritate you daily. And guess what? Most of them are in this church. Boy, it's fun when you get to preach what you want to preach. No, but listen. The Bible tells us we're to forbear. Why does the New Testament tell us we're to be forbearing people with joy? Because people are hard to deal with. People are hard to get along with. You will make a decision whether you're going to forbear with people or you're going to give in to your anger and feel satisfied. You're going to have to get, and here's one, I don't know how this got on my list. You're going to have to choose between evolution and creation. You're going to have to choose. Do you believe evolution or do you believe creation? You're going to have to choose that. You're going to have to choose whether you be arrogant or humble. See, arrogant just doesn't come with the territory. You'll make a choice. You're going to choose whether you're going to think so much of yourself that nobody else measures up. You will choose whether you're going to be arrogant or you're going to be humble. These things just don't happen. Life is a choice. God said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. You're going to choose whether you're going to be long-suffering and tolerant of those irritating people. You're going to choose whether you show mercy or demand justice. You know, it's mercy for us, justice for everybody else. You're going to choose whether you demand mercy, whether you offer mercy or justice. And guess what? I can't leave this out. You would expect me not to leave this out. You're going to choose whether you go to church or go to a soccer game. No one makes you make that choice. Whoa, but the soccer league says if we're not on there on Sundays, little Buford can't play. Let Buford sit at home. Take him to Sunday school class. You know you can survive this world without playing soccer. You can't survive this world without knowing the knowledge that's in your scriptures. And parents, don't expect your children to desire the Bible over soccer. I used an illustration in the men's meeting, our men's breakfast this morning. Pastor was talking, and he said, you know, when I was a kid, my dad was a pastor. He said, I came home one day, and I told my dad, my dad, I said, Dad, you know that little Jimmy, who I go to school with, do you know that his folks go to soccer games on Sunday afternoon? And he said, you know what? My dad, being the pastor he was, gave me the deepest theological answer you could ever have. And this is what he said. We don't. Not bad, parents. Let them figure out when they're 19 or 20 if they missed out on anything in soccer. These are the choices. These are the choices that we're going to make. And you decide. You're going to prove and hold fast. You're going to consider and choose life or death, blessing or cursing. You're going to find counsel to help you with it. You're going to choose whether you want a good life or the ruined life. And guess what? There's been a lot of wrong decisions made in here, you and me both. But our decisions aren't over yet. So don't get mad. I've made a mess of my life in this area. Guess what? You're still alive. God is still merciful. God is still filled with grace. You may only have one day more to live, but at least you have one more day to live right, making the right choices. If you have 20 more years to live, go for it. So let's throw away all the bad choice. Let's just learn that what we did when we made bad choices, we went right straight through a red signal. We didn't listen to our parents. We didn't listen to our pastor. We didn't listen to anybody. Or we took the counsel of the ungodly. We took counsel from people that don't know up from down. We took counsel from people that can't figure out if they're male or female. And we expect them to tell us if I should take this job or not. Why would we take counsel from someone like that? And so for all the bad decisions you and I've made them too, believe me. So of all the bad decisions and all the things that we wish we could do, don't waste your time wishing that you could do them over. Bury them and determine today, I'm starting today with understanding my choices, and I'm going to start choosing life over death. I'm going to start choosing blessing over cursing, and if I can't figure it out by reading this Bible, I will check with Pastor and get his counsel. And I'll make a commitment, and if Pastor tells me, or I find in this scripture, that what I'm about to do is unwise, I am not going to do it. Man, if you can do that, you're on your way to Christian maturity. Let's bow our heads together this morning, and there always comes a time where you have to make a choice in a Baptist church. That's why a lot of people don't like to come to a Baptist church, because you don't get to go away without being offered to make a choice. So Mike's going to come up Mrs. Cox, and we're going to sing a hymn. We're going to sing an invitation song, we call it. And in just a moment, I'll have you stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm going to ask you to make a choice. Now, everyone in here is going to make a choice. You can make a choice that will affect your life forever. If you're not saved this morning, you're going to make a choice to walk out of here lost, or you're going to come up here and get saved this morning. If you don't have a good church home, you're going to make a choice on what you're going to do about your church home. If you're fighting with some decisions in your life and you're really not sure what to do, then this morning you're going to make a choice. And if you just leave here doing nothing, guess what? That was your choice. We're just going to give you the opportunity.